This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome back. Welcome in. This is Country Roads Confidential at earsports.com, a CBS sports podcast. I am Mike Casazza. Going once, going twice, gone. Chris Anderson, you are on the block here. We're going to talk about something that has caught fire overnight here in Morgantown, among West Virginia fans, heck, among Mountaineer football players. I love a conflict. I love when the call is coming from inside the house. Enlighten us on what the heck happened here, Chris, and why it's so, I don't know what the adjective would be, but right now, entertaining.
Well, so I guess my first interaction or knowledge of it came from a tweet from Zach Frazier about at 6:30 on Monday evening. And it was him quote tweeting the Mountaineer Athletic Club about an auction they held where the Mountaineer Athletic Club had put up 30 official, quote, team-issued Country Roads jerseys and put them up for bids. And Zach Frazier's jersey went for only $600. And Zach Frazier says, quote, "I play my heart out for this state. I'm sick right now. I would have paid way more than $600 for my own uniform. I wish I would have known. I'll pay double to whoever bought it. Please reach out." And that just opens up a whole can of worms. Obviously, everybody sees that. He's one of the most recognizable players on this WVU football team. And him tweeting that publicly is a very bad look for a lot of people. And it got a lot of people talking. And it, I mean, I saw it and about 15 things ran through my mind about so many issues. And I remember you and I were talking about how we got to do the Q&A pod, and I sent you that link to that tweet, and I said, I think we need a rapid reactions pod.
Let me just edit your introduction here for a second, Chris. You said Zach Frazier. I would say, based on the program, Zach Frazier?
Yeah.
They have put him out on a lot of stuff. They have promoted him for offseason and preseason awards. The trouble of being the face of the program at any football team, a college football team, is your face is beneath the helmet. They don't see you very much. You get in trouble if you take a helmet off from the field. You're a center. What has been the most ink spilled about Zach Frazier in his career? Probably the Oklahoma game 2 seasons ago, unfortunately for him. Reality for a center in college football. There were a lot of people I talked to throughout the season who thought he would go pro, that he'd done enough in you know, 3 seasons. He played well, played better. And that I don't know what his academic status is, but either he's done or he would be done soon. Maybe should have done my homework on this. But my point being, he did not go pro. He is back. No announcement, no fanfare, no tweet, no press release, no news conference, just kind of quietly came back to work the next day. So this is one of your marquee players. And for him to have an issue and to perk up like this, to me, is out of character, because he's a pretty mild-mannered to the media. On the field, you can see it's different. If you watched him wrestle, you can tell it's different. Maybe you're seeing the man in the singlet come out right now a little bit. But for as long as we've known him in West Virginia football, this is just a deviation of who he is and how he's been. And I'm not saying he's wrong. It just strikes me that he did that. And number one, number two, I would have to think if anybody knew he felt this way, this probably wouldn't happen. But I would also have to think that if he knew like what the Mac is and what it does and what it intended to do here, I really wonder if he would have sent that tweet. But part of this, I think, is that there's probably levels of confusion about what's going on and how this happened. I wonder how many people even knew that their jersey was available. If this was going on, there's a whole lot of question marks that we have. And I think that's part of the issue you and I are going to explore and illustrate here. But not just Zach Frazier. It's Zach Frazier, comma, a whole bunch of qualifiers, comma, complete your sentence there. It's not just a guy on this team. It's maybe the guy on this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is not something you really want out there publicly, because you're right. Over the last, you know, couple of weeks, he's appeared on preseason All-American teams. He gets put out there by the program, as you noted, as kind of the face of the program. And now here we are kind of opening up kind of fresh wounds. I mean, this whole fundraising thing, and again, there's a lot of things we need to talk about here, a lot of angles. The fundraising part at West Virginia, like, that's a big reason why Shane Lyons was fired, or at least that was one of the reasons it was given publicly. And it's a reason why they hired Ren Baker. It's a reason why they've tried to change up the way they approach NIL money and how they fundraise for all this stuff and how they give money to the kid, to the players. And here we are just a couple months later, you know, what is that Simpsons? Like, the guy just stepping on the rake over and over and over again. I know that's your thing. And here we are again.
It's not my thing. I'm not the one doing it. It's unfortunate too. They just don't need steps backwards. They need steps forward. And to come out and say that you raised nearly $20,000 for the college, for the Mountaineer football master plan. Chris, $20,000 is not a lot. It's nothing that you couldn't fundraise independently. That's singular donations from a person or a family. In some instances, that's stuff that can be phased out over time. I really wonder if it has to be on the literal backs of your college football players, if you have to fund a master plan for football with something like this. Hindsight, obviously, right now, but I spoke to someone last night who is in a program that did this 2 years ago, had a themed uniform, one-time only kind of thing, which, by the way, that's another issue, but that's a whole other podcast, I guess, but was not intending to use this uniform again in the future, and they held an auction. I'm not going to say the number because it's easy to track down who this is, I think, but more, for sure. Number one. Number two, they gave players and their families the rights to the first refusal on their number. Had to pay for it, but, like, hey, you played in this game, you did this. Would you like to buy your uniform? Cool. Yes, no, whatever. And then it went up an auction. Maybe that's what they did with the other 55 uniforms. I guess maybe more than 55. They only sold 30. And then let me say this too. 20,000 for 30 uniforms, that's okay. That's okay. But that feels like it's a separate thing. Like, we can pin a ribbon on that if you want to, sure. But, man, I really wonder if they could have found a different way to make $20,000. Or is this where we're at, scraping the barrel right now, is to get $20,000, you got to sell 30 one-time used uniforms.
Mike, what does that $20,000 get you? A couple Gatorade, like, coolers?
Well, not Gatorade for a year, if anybody remembers that joke. probably furniture for some offices, you know? You've seen Neil Brown's office?
Yeah, I'm asking this question because currently, right now, there are some renovations going on in my own house. And, I mean, I'll take any donations anybody wants to give, because I know currently for a fact $20,000 isn't getting you very far. Like, I mean, I'm not doing half of what, of course not half of what these guys are doing. And $20,000 in what? What's the budget for the football program?
Oh, God. Probably unlimited. Right?
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, they're spending tens of millions a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking $20,000 to, like, it wasn't worth $20,000 to piss off Zach Frazier at all. I mean, again, hindsight, all that stuff. But I don't know what they thought they were getting from this. But, man, hey, I don't know. Hey, let's try to pick an avenue here and go, because there is a lot I want to talk about here.
Let's optimize it. How's that?
Okay.
I don't have a problem with him doing this.
I don't either. I think that was my first question to you, because there were some people on the board upset about the fact that they're selling the ticket, the jerseys, period. I do not have a problem with that at all.
Yeah, like, I don't know why this is a one-time uniform. I think it'd be cool to wear once a year for special occasions, or at least to have in your pocket. And I suppose they can still do that, but fine. That's part of the appeal here. Hey, they only wore this once. And I'm not even sure these are game-worn uniforms, whatever, too, right? But also, the 30 numbers and the prices they went for, wow. Like, the number one seller was number 9. You remember number 9, right? There was no number 9, right?
So a lot of it, my grandchildren on my knees and tell them about number 9.
I mean, maybe Major Harris, you know, maybe. But, like, I don't, like, that's a weird thing with the uniform from a player so long ago to a game not that long ago. Anyways, whatever, let's optimize this. I don't have a problem with them doing this, too. In some regard, yeah, you are in charge of making money. Execution conception of the idea are two different things here, of course. So, how do you make this better? Advertise a little bit better, make the stage bigger, more inclusive. And, like, why do it now, too? Like, the time for college football would be around your signing days. So there's one before Christmas, which, what do people do before Christmas? Oh, they spend money and buy gifts. One. Two. Let's be honest. They need to Pied Piper the hell out of things this year for football. And if they could do something in the spring to make people's heart race a little bit about this coming football season, that would help. And if this spring game is just practice 15 and we're going to go out and just do some special team, like, if it's just that thing that we all kind of roll our eyes about right now, shame on them. And it might be, because there's an opportunity to turn this into, like, a festival. And I really thought we were going this way a couple years ago, and they just canceled the spring game because it was too cold. And they went out and they did their charity walk, and that was about it. Dana Holgerson, Jeff Hostetler, so on and so forth. They carried through on the charitable part, but the football thing wasn't going to happen. And I was just thinking, and I think a lot of people were at least considering this, is this going to be like an actual weekend or a day where you do certain things? And it just seems like a way to, like, to jumpstart this a little bit and turn maybe a Saturday or a weekend into something bigger too. And look at what Bob Huggins did with his dang fish fry, right? Wrap that around a basketball game, turn that into, like, two cool nights. Could you do something like that with a spring game? Is a spring exhibition as big as a regular season basketball game against an SEC team or a Big 12 team? I don't know. Maybe not. Could be. At least it could be comparable. So, you know, have something like a dinner one night. And then, by the way, the dinner, there's going to be a silent auction, or there's an elimination dinner, or just something like that. Do something where you can actually get a lot of people in there, lubricate them, make them happy. Maybe they overpay for the uniform. Maybe 20,000 is 50,000. Who knows? But, like, turn it into something that's part of a weekend or part of a bigger event, and not just a thing that you did online because you got signed up to LiveSource. Like, actually use this. Make something of it. You have these assets. You have these 30 uniforms. Is putting them online for a live online auction the best way to go? They thought so. Is that the way to go in the future? I don't know. They got a lot more uniforms they can sell. Perhaps they grow it into something different. But I just think about every time they do something like this, Chris, there's people who get mad. You remember before they were selling the uniforms and the helmets, and people were really mad because, like, a small number of people got a lot of the memorabilia, and a lot of people felt left out. Well, they don't do that anymore. Cool. That's good. This is maybe different than that. But, like, this still feels like it's short of the goal line to me.
I want to start with your point about timing. Again, of course, all of that about, hey, it's not football season. Like, focus it around football, turn around football. But you also brought up something else that happened recently, the Bob Huggins fish fry. Do you know what happened after that? The baseball auction.
Mm-hmm.
And now you turn around and ask it, like, in the span of about 8 days, they had 3 separate events asking for money, putting things up for sale. Like, at some point, you know, I get, like, these are auctions and you're getting things, you're earning things, you're buying things. You know, this isn't just write me a check. But when you're the third of 3 straight fundraising events in the span of like 8 days, it's not going to work. Like, people are, you're just kind of tired of it by then. Like, you've run out of donors. Like, hey, you know, maybe, you know, Daddy Warbucks over there that's buying everything could muster up a few more dollars for that third auction. But a lot of your, maybe no offense to anybody that's buying these things, but like middle of the road purchasers or lower income purchasers, they're done. Like, hey, I spent my, you know, I had $1,000 to spend in, you know, petty cash or whatever. I've spent it. I spent it at the fish fry. I spent it at the baseball auction 5 days ago. And now there's this third event in like 8 or 9 days. I don't have any money, more money to go. And so the timing of it was just terrible. I don't know how long it was, you know, planned in advance. But again, as you noted, this was just a live auction online, as far as I know. You could have just moved it. You could have moved it back in the spring. Give it a couple months between events, between fundraising events. Set it around the football spring games. Set it around some practices, something. But that timing was just brutal.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
I think you're fishing from different streams when it comes to baseball and football, right? Not football and basketball. A lot of overlap when it comes to those fans. And there's going to be some in baseball, but there's so many, there's such a significantly lower number of baseball fans than football and basketball fans. No offense to baseball. I think what they do is really cool. But the overlap in football and basketball, fish fry to this, is probably, that Venn diagram is pretty interesting too. I'm sorry, Chris, but I'm picturing somebody logging on being like, I need that 9 uniform, and putting the bid in for like $500, and then gets a notification. I don't know, maybe an email. Someone's outbid you. Oh yeah, I'm willing to go to $700, $900, $1,100, $1,660 for the number 9 jersey. Who is this? I can write a story about this, I think. I'm not going to. But
let's put the flyer out there. Come hop on the pod. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Props to Lance Dixon's family. 13-10 for the number 5 jersey. I'm assuming. I don't know. Number 2, 970. Just weird. It might be lucky numbers. I don't know. Curious to me. We'll see. Any wins, Chris? Denny wins over there. And the thing is that I feel like we've been banging them with a hammer for a long time about stuff. It's not just you and me, people on our board, fans. It's not in our little silo here on our podcast and our website. A lot of people are just kind of disappointed and upset by the pace of the fundraising, and how scattered everything has been. And I think Ren Baker is probably going to have his hands on that before long. And he may grab the wheel sooner than later when he sees this and the reception thereafter. We'll see. Just need wins. And what occurs to me is, yeah, we have been talking about this for a long time, and it hasn't really been swept up yet. They've had turnover personnel things. They've been trying to get people in the right spots and also win games, get to the postseason, give people reasons to open their wallet to buy, or I guess provide more of the same enjoyment and success that they're enjoying. That success and enjoyment isn't really there. So helps to win the games.
Can we talk about maybe the most important part of what went wrong here?
Sure.
Working together. And this is something you and I talked about months ago, a year ago, whenever the NIL stuff started really sprouting up and Country Roads Trust started. And we brought up the dilemma of, there are going to be some schools who just have unlimited funding, and they will be able to fund, say, the MAC and the Country Roads Trust and academic stuff and all that. Is West Virginia one of those programs? Is West Virginia University one of those schools? I wasn't sure. And I asked the question, you know, are they going to be able to fund both sides of this, or are both you know, sets of fundraisers going to be fighting each other for the same dollars? And then both end up short because they're fighting over it. go look at, if you're listening to this, go look at the WVU Mac social media pages. Now, they tweet these things out. They say, put them out there on Twitter. And when they do, they you tag other accounts. And typically, when you tag other accounts, that is an invitation to that person to retweet that and share that with their followers, to link it up, to post it somewhere else, to put it on their other social medias. For instance, when one of our national guys interviews a kid, a recruit, and talks about West Virginia, they will tag me in it. They will tag the Ear Sports Twitter in it. And then I will retweet it. I will put it on our board. I will put it on our Facebook. That helps expand it. That helps get it out to more people. It's us working together. On the WVU Mac one, they tagged WVU football. They tagged WVU sports on Twitter. Both accounts have exponentially higher follower rates than the WVU Mac Twitter page.
Yeah.
And neither one of those accounts retweeted, tweeted, linked, nothing. No coaches, no players. And it sounds like some of the players didn't even know that the jerseys were up for auction. It sounds like, don't know that for a fact, but just the way Frazier reacted.
I could tell you a few parents who had no idea.
Yeah. So, there's no cohesiveness. There's no working together here. The school is not working together. All of these different arms of the program and the university. Somebody get these guys on a Slack channel, Mike. Get them in a Slack channel together and ping each other. Help me out. Retweet this. Here, this is for all of us. And they're just not doing it. Like, it seems like, if I read into this and just try to analyze what's going on, it's like almost like, hey, I don't want to help them because I'm almost competing against them. And that's a problem. If you have all of these different arms of the program trying to reach in different directions, you're going to go nowhere.
I wonder if they know to help each other, or that it's okay, or they want to. I don't believe that there's an East Coast, West Coast, Biggie Tupac thing here, right? Although, again, love conflict, love it when it's inside the house, right? That's cool. It's just not what's happening, I don't think. I just think there's, do they know to help? Do they know how they can help too? The Twitter followers, the Facebook followers for the Mac, I don't know that's their number one mode of communication when it comes to fundraising. I would assume, they probably have a listserv. They probably do some stuff with email, phone calls. I mean, a lot of people, this is kind of a joke, but that 6:07 p.m. when you're sitting down to eat the steak and potatoes, that's the Mac calling, right? Kind of a long running joke here, but they do stuff like that. But I still think that the awareness on social media was where you might get that. And this isn't a thing where you had to be a Mac member. If you saw it, you could jump onto it. I've seen just mixed reports about people who did get an email or didn't get an email, but it was just one email. Man, it just feels like there should have been a big preamble to this. Could have been done better for sure, but heck, this podcast could have been done better too. I'm not saying that the flaw is in the perfection of the execution of the plan, but the whole plan, it just seemed like from conception to execution to now the review, really kind of vulnerable in its strengths and weaknesses and how it could have been done better. And again, maybe they do it in the future and do it better. Maybe it is part of a bigger plan. We'll see. But definitely it did bend some people out of shape here, and then continue to bend people out of shape, because these are new critiques here. I think well-intended, hands are tied, hamstrung on some stuff, but even little victories can make a big difference too.
Yeah. A couple points real quick. They, first off, I believe it was Dale Wolfley, who he's still with the Mac, right? Or no?
Who is this?
Dale Wolfley.
Oh, I don't know what his capacity is anymore, to be honest with you.
But he responded to Zach's tweet saying things are being taken care of. So first off, whether he's involved or not, he seems to know that he knows that somebody is trying to resolve this issue. So that's always a good thing, is trying to fix any problems there might be. The second thing is, if this were, and this is, and you touched on it a second ago, if this were a standalone incident, if this were the only fundraising issue that West Virginia had, or the only issue that was going on, it would be a blip on the radar. Maybe it still end up being a blip. I mean, we're still less than 20. We're what, 15 hours from when Zach Frazier's tweet while we're recording this, and maybe this will be old news in 15 hours from now. But this is just another piece to a puzzle of issues with fundraising and no cohesion, I feel like, between all the various departments around the program, around athletics in general. And I think that is what is upsetting most of the people right now. Not specifically this, not the fact that, hey, Zach Frazier didn't get his jersey. It's just, here's another thing that has gone wrong.
Whoever has the jersey, there needs to be a social media video of this person, like with the Sarah McLachlan music, and he's just walking out of his man cave with all of his Mountaineer memorabilia, and he's got this jersey under his arm, and he goes out into a field and snaps the jersey to Zach Frazier. Handshake, yeah. Hug, hatchet buried, give the Mac your money.
And hey, if you're listening to this person who has Zach Frazier's jersey, reach out. I'd like to hear about it.
Chris has $601 for you. We'll be able to sell sponsorship very quickly here, won't we?
Yes, we will.
Well, problem identified, not problem solved, but again, problem nonetheless. We will be back in the near future here and promise a Q&A. We'll back it up one day. Felt this was something that had to be addressed, and maybe we'll have a good resolution to this sometime soon. We'll see. One way to find out. Stay tuned. Until then, I'm Mike Casazza.
And I'm Chris Anderson.
We'll talk to you then.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.